In Luke chapter number 2, I begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And of course, the story goes on with the story of the shepherd and the news that was brought to them. But I'm interested this morning, back in verse number 5, I was reading this just the other day in my devotions. And actually, I was reading going down the road. I wasn't driving, though. Brother Massengale was driving, and I was just having to make a trip with him the other day when I was preaching revival with him. And so I just took my Bible and things with me, because I knew I was going to, whatever studying I did, I'm going to have to be on the road. And, of course, I'm used to that a lot. But anyway, I just started reading. I mean, chapter 2 in my devotion, I just turned over there and started reading while we was driving, and I was praying too while we was driving. And but I got to verse 5, and something absolutely jumped off of the page at me. And I just real quickly got a piece of paper and started jotting some things down, thinking, you know, this would be a good Christmas message. This would be something I'll preach probably at our church somewhere on up into the year. But the thing got a hold of me so that I couldn't shake it. I couldn't get away from it. In fact, I ended up preaching it that night in Brother Massengale's church. Well, it's got a hold of me and developed in my heart even further. And Lord, let me know early this week that it's not a Christmas message at RBT, but it's this morning's message. In fact, it'll be all day. It'll be this morning and tonight. No way I can preach all that the Lord has given me in one service. So I hope you make plans to be back again even tonight. But I'm interested in verse number 5. The Bible says, describing Mary, the espoused wife of Joseph, look at this, being great with child. Now I'm interested in that word great, and I'm interested in the child. I'm interested in the child. Of course, we know the child was Jesus, and we know Jesus is God. So God, in verse number 5, is describing greatness with God. She was great with child, or she was great with God. And that's what I want to deal with today, being great with God. Being great with God. Now, most sinners today do not view salvation and Jesus being great, because I think they have never seen Jesus being great in us. Amen. Now, you'll see this message unfold, especially when I start using Miss Lori this morning. But God declares salvation, which is God in you, Jesus in you. God describes that as great. In fact, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" So salvation is not something that's okay. Salvation, God says, is great. Now, I want to ask you, dear friend, is being great with God in you, is that an interest of you? Or as a believer, are you really interested in that? And I want to say to you that today that are lost, that being saved, I've had people tell me, "Preach, I'd get saved, but I can't live it." And that is the truth. You cannot live it. Amen? Unsaved people can't live it. Amen. So that would help us to see probably those that are not living it are probably not saved. Amen. Because Mary had within her a life. Not her life, it was the life of God in her. And God used the word great to describe that. Well, amen. Boy, I like, don't you? I want to be great with God, don't you? I want to be great in the same way that Mary was great with God inside her. And we'll point out some things. Let me jump. I'm going to jump way ahead. I meant to wait a little bit later on, but this is the statement the Lord gave me, and this one statement summarizes the whole message. But we're going to blow this thing up and dissect it from every angle possible. But I was reading that going down the road, and when I read that, being great with child, God spoke to my heart and said these words. God measures greatness by how big Jesus is in you. Amen. God used the word great to describe how big Jesus was in her. The world don't measure greatness the way God measures greatness. But God will say on you that you are great if Jesus is big and getting bigger in you. Amen. Amen. So in other words, greatness with God is a size issue. Greatness with God is a measurement issue. How do you measure today, with that life, I'm talking about you that are saved right now, I'm dealing with you that are saved. How do you measure with that life that's in you? If you don't have life in you, you're not saved. Amen? Those that are not saved, Brother Clapper, the Bible said in Ephesians 2, and you, talking about you, the Ephesian believers, and us, we that are saved, and you hath He quickened. That word quickened means to make alive. He said, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. So when you're lost, you don't have no life. That's why you're not interested in the things of God. That's why you're not interested in the things of God. That's why you're not interested in the things of God. You said, preacher, you said that three times. It's going to take that to get some's attention. Amen, this morning. Amen, but it takes that. Are you listening? Oh, I want to tell you, she was great with God. And I want to let you know that, listen, God said something about her size and said something about her measurement and said something about her development and her growth. Amen. But now to the world, they measure you. Now listen to this. Greatness to the world is a matter of how big the world is in you. Follow me now. Greatness with the world, in the world's eyes, my friend, they measure greatness by how big the world is in you. But God measures greatness by how big He is in you. Amen. Amen. I tell you what we need. We need a revival of the bigness of God. We need, amen. We don't need Him to grow. We don't need Him to get bigger. We need Him to get big in us. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. The world measures greatness by prettiness. I mean, if you're not pretty, as most of us are not, or handsome, or whatever you want to use, the word, we'd just be cut off. We'd be left out. We'd be out in the cold as far as this world's measurements. In fact, most young people spend all of their time trying to line up with the world's standards. Amen. And I've seen pretty girls. Amen. I've seen handsome boys, my friend, turn out to be ugly when they started laying aside good morals and laying aside modesty and morality and purity and starting to act and dress and look like what the world is looking for. The world measures greatness by prettiness. If the world was going to save you, and they can't, but if the world was going to save you, you'd have to be real handsome for them to even look at you. Here's good news. God saves ugly people. Amen. Hallelujah. God saves people that don't have a prayer or a chance and no acceptance with the world. Amen. Woo! We'll just shout about that this morning. Amen. Got the world. The world measures greatness by prettiness. The world measures greatness by possessions. The world will not look at you and say, you know, I believe you're a winner when you have nothing. They won't knock on your door. They won't call you. They're not interested in you if you have nothing. But I'm glad if you don't have two pennies to rub together. Thank God you're in the mind of God and you have His attention. God can say, in fact, the Bible says the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Amen. But the world measures greatness by possessions. Also, the world measures greatness by positions. Amen? That's right. Positions. Well, we could go in and we could give a lot of illustration there, but I got a long way to go. The world measures greatness also by popularity. If you're not popular, then you're a nobody. And I want you to know something, young people, today. Popularity better not become a god to you. Or you one day will look in the mirror and say, what have I done? What choices did I make? I absolutely have made a mess of my life all for the purpose of recognition and applause of my friends. Amen? That's right. Amen. A real friend will encourage your walk with God, not complicate it. A real friend, a real friend will, my friend, encourage you. And we said some things earlier about that. But popularity, what about power? What about prosperity? Those are just some of the measurements or marks on the ruler that the world will measure you by. You can be great with this world and don't even be on the and not even be on the ruler with God. Amen. Amen. And I just want to say that God created you to be great with Him. God created you for you to be indwelt with Him and to love Him and serve Him. And listen, you'll never be happy until you find that to be so. Amen. Now watch this. I like this and we'll repeat it. And I'm going to say it other times as well. But not only the world measures like that, but God don't measure by none of those measurements. God doesn't rate bigness or greatness with any of those standards. But I tell you what He does. God in the text measures greatness by how big Jesus is in you. Amen. We know of a little man called Zacchaeus. Amen. He wasn't big as a tick, as we say in East Tennessee. He wasn't big enough, amen, hardly cast a shadow. But you know what he did? He got hungry one day to want to see Jesus for who He was. He didn't let the crowd stop him. He didn't let his past stop him. He didn't let his little size stop him. And he climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And the Lord passed that way. You know the story and you know the song. And my friend Jesus, thank God, looked up and saw the little man. Amen. Saw the little man and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Amen. For I must abide at thy house. Amen. You say, what happened? The big God went home with the little man. Amen. It wasn't how big Zacchaeus was anymore. It wasn't how little he was. It wasn't even about Zacchaeus no more. It was about the one that went home with him, whose name was Jesus. I read about another man in the Bible that was little. Saul of Tarsus. The very name Saul means little one. Oh, on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter number 9, the big God of heaven had a collision with a little man. You'll never get saved as long as you're big. Now, I'm not talking about big house, what size you are physically. I'm talking about how big are you of your opinion of yourself. How big are you concerning pride? How big are you concerning importance? God saves little people. People that will humble themselves and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. But God measures greatness by how big Jesus is in you. Did you know that is a term that describes salvation in the Bible? Christ in you. What does it say in Colossians chapter number 1 in verse 27? Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does it say there in 2 Corinthians 13:5, where we preached from so many weeks there on examination of salvation? What does it say there? Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not your own self that Christ is in you.
Amen.
If Jesus is not in you, you are not saved. There is a parallel between Mary having Jesus in her to a saved person having Jesus in them.
Amen.
And that's the approach that we're taking. You say, preacher, why should I get saved? Well, you don't have enough time. You didn't bring a lunch big enough for me to tell you why you need to be saved.
Amen.
There's so many benefits to that. There's so many directions we could go with that. That subject is so big that I would die of old age before I could get it told as to why you should get saved. But could I suffice it to say, you need to get saved because you're empty. You need to get saved because you don't have God in you. Amen. Brother, because when you get saved, God comes inside you and takes up His residence in you. Amen. Amen. Boy, in my mind, I'm seeing stuff I'm going to be saying later, and I can't hardly wait to say it. Amen. Can I say this? When God gets in you and is great with you, as was with Mary, there's not much room for nothing else. Amen. You say, preach, I have a struggle with being worldly. No, if you get great with God, amen, get swelled up with God, which is what the word means, to be swelling inside. Amen. Get swelled up with God. Amen. There won't be no room for worldliness and carnality and flesh and self inside you. Jesus getting in you and swelling up in you and getting great in you has a tendency to just kind of take up all the room. Amen. He just kind of has a tendency to kind of crowd everything else out. Amen. Well, glory. Could I start tonight? I know this morning I just kind of been bumping around on some things. I've got to give you this verse. This verse summarizes it. I've got to give you this verse. Y'all ready? I want you to turn to Galatians. You said, preacher, you're out in left field. You're out in left. You're not even in the ballpark. No. I'm telling you, when I get done, you'll say, preacher, you're right. Amen. There's a parallel between Mary having Jesus in her, amen, physically, and you and I having Jesus in us spiritually. There's a parallel there. But, oh, I ran across this verse since I preached it up there the other day. Look at this in Galatians 4:19. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Galatians 4:19, Paul writing the Galatian believers, and here's what he said. My little children, of whom I travail in birth. Again, watch this. Here's Paul's desire. Here's Paul's prayer. Until Christ be formed in you. Miss Lori, what is happening in you is another is being formed in you. Are you listening? That's right, isn't it? Till Christ be formed in you. And that's a message in and of itself right there. And maybe we'll preach on that at a later time. But I just want to say the word formed means to be fashioned. God, when you get saved, He fashions Himself in you. Sort of goes along with Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Watch this. And be not conformed. There's that word formed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul said, for the believer, it is a reality that Christ is in you and He desires to be formed in you.
Amen.
I've got to preach this right here. I do. That word formed has the idea as if you'd formed to pour concrete. When you form up a driveway or you form up whatever, my friend, guess what? When you go to pouring it in, it just keeps spreading until it matches the form.
Amen.
It goes this way and that way until it bumps in against the form. Hey, Christ is to be formed in us. That is, He's going to keep spreading through all the crevices and cracks of your life until He's filled you up. Amen. Until completely you are, your body is His form.
Amen.
Until your body is His form. As you move, it's Him moving. Amen. But that's something we'll deal with later. But that word formed is in the passive voice. And that simply means the subject is the recipient of the action. In other words, when Paul said to the Galatians, I'm praying and travailing in birth again that Christ be formed in you, he's saying that this is an action that's going to happen to you. It's not what you're going to do to yourself. It's what's being done to you.
Amen.
Salvation, Brother Mark, is not what I'm doing to myself. It's what is being done to me. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all missed that, didn't you? And if that's the case with salvation, and it is, then where's the work of God in a lot of people's lives that claim to be saved? If salvation is a work that God does for me and to me, then where's the evidence of it in a lot of people's lives? Amen? Here we go. Y'all ready? Point number one. It's one of the benefits of being a pastor. You can unhook and hook back up. Point number one, I'm going to take my time with it because this thing's big. Miss Laura, you make your way up on the front, please. I told her I wouldn't try to embarrass her too bad. So I hopefully she's prayed hard. Amen. The first point of God being great in me and God being great in you, as the text in Luke chapter 2 and verse 5 projects and lifts out and says, number one, there's got to be a divine conception. God didn't get into God wasn't always in Mary. Irregardless of what some denominations would say about her. By saying that there was an immaculate conception, you know, that she was above sin. No, she was a sinner. Yeah, tell them. Mary said, addressing Jesus, she addressed Him as my God, my Savior. She needed to be saved. Amen. The only one that never had needed to be saved was Jesus. Sis, I'm going to talk about her physically, but I hope that you'll stay with me spiritually. There was a time, stand up her, sis, if you don't care. She'll get some good exercise up, down, walk across the front, up, down. But sis, would you report to this congregation that there was a time that you weren't like that? Isn't that the truth? I mean, listen, how far are you along you?
38.
Well, that don't mean nothing to me. When does it do?
2 more weeks.
Oh, it's due to, she is great with child, amen. She might have it this morning. Boy, wouldn't that go with the message, amen. But there was a time not too long ago that this life was not in her. In other words, there was a time that this began. for God to have got in Mary, for God to get in you, there's got to be a time. There's got to be a somewhere. There's got to be a place. My friend, that there was a conception of the seed. Amen. The Bible says the Word of God is the seed. Amen. I'll let you be seated there just a minute, but don't go far. The Word of God is the seed. Can I say to you this morning, nobody gets saved apart from the seed being supernaturally conceived and implanted in you. Amen. James 1:18, the Bible says, of His own will beget He us. Beget is a birthing term. Beget He us with the Word of truth. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hey, watch this right here. There's got to be a conception of the seed. Guess what was put in Mary? The Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You say, when did Jesus get inside Mary? When the Word was put in her. When how did the Word get put in her? The Holy Ghost. Amen. Man couldn't produce what happened to her. It took a divine work of the Spirit of God to take Jesus, who is the living Word, and put Him inside her. Amen. Miss Cheryl, Miss Christine, and was it Jacob? I get them mixed up. Jacob and Elijah. I'm back and forth now. Amen. But you know what happened to them and Kim last Sunday morning and the boy on visitation and me 28 years ago? You know what happened? It wasn't a work of man. In fact, when Mary was told what was going to happen to her, she said, "This is impossible. How can this be?" She said, "I can't. That can't happen to me. Man can't do that." The Word of God came and let her know that that which is in you has been conceived of the Holy Ghost. There is no salvation apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Now I know that's elementary to us. Here, being exposed to the truth. That's elementary, but you'd be surprised with a bunch of this Hollywood evangelist, my friend, that's out for numbers. All they're interested in is running them through a little prayer and repeat a verse and admit that you believe some Bible facts and then tell them they're saved. I'm going to tell you that is not possible for man to do. Man cannot save you. Man cannot do it. It takes the work of the Holy Ghost. A divine conception. It takes a divine conception. There's a beginning point. Can you remember back when you got saved? We've heard several testify this morning that they didn't remember the date. Amen. May not remember the exact moment or whatever, some of the major the details. You may not remember the whens. You may not remember the whats. You may not remember the whens and the wheres. And you may not even understand all the whys, but you'll know there was a what. You'll know that there was a, amen, you'll know that there was a place, there was a time that the Spirit of God began to overshadow you. He began to convict you. He began to work in your heart and draw you to Himself. And when He's put you under conviction and He's working over you as He was working on Mary, you'll think, "Oh God, what are You doing to me?" Because this great event in Mary's life was going to change her whole life. I'll hit that later on. It would change her whole life. It changed all of her plans. It changed everything. Instead of her life revolving around Mary, now it revolved around the great God that was in her.
Amen.
Amen. But there's got to be a divine conception. A time when it all begins. Amen. Amen. Only one way for God to get inside of a person, and that's through the work and power and person of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Boy, I like that, don't you? You know what Mary said when the angel told her what was going to happen to her? Here's what she said in verse 38 of chapter 1, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Boy, there's some powerful stuff right there. Be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, what happened inside of her had her consent. You don't just get saved. You don't wake up in the middle of the night and have a dream and say, well, you didn't ask, you don't know nothing about it, but you're saved. No. You get saved as you consent with your will and your obedience, your permission, your submission to God. Say, yes, Lord.
Yeah,
yeah. Yes, Lord. Amen. She said, be it unto me. Lord, I don't understand how you're going to do it, and I don't know all about it. I don't know how big it's going to get. But I know what. See, amen. She didn't know how big it's going to get. But boy, was she surprised. Amen. How quickly it got big in her. How quickly God got big inside of her. Amen. There has to be a divine conception. But when she said, be it unto me according to thy word, she's basically saying, That God being in me is a scriptural thing. That God being great in me is a scriptural thing. Amen. Boy, there's a lot of things we could say. Look at Luke 1:34. When she was told about it, she said to this angel that had spoken to her about it, she said, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She said, I don't understand. Boy, I don't understand all the hows and I can't understand all the details about salvation. But I know one thing. It all begins with a conception. There's got to be the divine conception. Amen. Now then, I want to deal with a second truth this morning. Not only is there a divine conception, but there is a developing growth. The conception is only the beginning. God getting in you is only the start.
Amen.
He desires to grow in you. He desires to get big. He desires for you to get great with Him. That's right. Amen. God being inside of her, expanding and enlarging. Set of verses. God, listen, God getting inside Mary, expanding and enlarging was a real experience.
That's right.
See, I want to ask you, what's going on? Is that imaginary?
No.
You're just not dreaming. You just haven't eaten too much. I mean, it's a real deal that you got life in you that's growing. Now listen. I'm gonna get on some thin ice right here, and I'd be in trouble if I was talking just in the physical. But you've not always been this size, have you? Now, I know if you're talking to a woman about size, you better duck or run fast. But we're talking spiritual, amen. Amen. Now, what made you get that size? Don't answer that. I'll answer it for you. Growth. And you've been this way how long?
Almost 9 months.
Almost 9 months. 9 months is not long unless you're, of course, you know. But 9 months, my friend, is a really a short period of time to go from the unnoticeable to very noticeable. I want to ask a lot of people today, where's the growth at?
Amen. Right, preacher.
Of course, some of you other ladies could answer this, but I'm using her today. How long was it before you started showing?
Just a few months.
Short period of time.
Amen.
I know people's been saved for years, and they're not showing yet. There's no evidence yet. And guess what? It don't matter if you stand up and tell everybody in the world, in her case, I'm pregnant. Send it on email around the world. Put posters on the billboard. I'm pregnant. If you don't never start showing, guess what? I hate to pop your bubble. You're not pregnant.
Amen.
You can tell everybody I'm saved. I went to the altar, but I want to ask you, if there's no growth, if there's no development, if there's no showing, guess what? You don't have nothing in you. There's got to be a development. Amen? Well, you get saved, God comes inside you, and that conception is only the beginning. Oh, praise God for the day I got saved. But I wouldn't want to go back there. I wouldn't want to take 28 years off and go back to the day that I got saved. Why? Because there's been an enormous amount, I think, in my life, because I knew me before then, of growth. Guess what? Miss Lori don't even have to tell nobody. Miss Lori don't have to wear a tag or a t-shirt. Baby on board. No, amen. I'm telling you, it just becomes evident, amen. Why? The growth and the development process. Now listen, it's not her growing. Sis, all of this is not you growing. It's you. Hey, Sister Diane, you listen? It's her stretching. It's her stretching, but the real growth is the one that's in her. Amen. Oh, God, help us to know that God wants to grow inside of us. And as He grows, and as He gets bigger, and as He swells inside of us, then we must outwardly grow as well. As that baby grows inside, she will grow outside. There's no growth outside. It's probably a good sign there's nothing inside. Amen. Oh, amen. It was a real experience. Watch this right here. This development right here, Brother Randy, this development right here is natural. Look at Miss Lori's face. Now what if she was up here going... For 9 months, you've been... every time she come to church, like most men, you know, just had this awful look on her face. Well, Mike, you know what we say? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You say, well, I'm just trying to help this thing grow. What are you doing? I'm working on it. No! God gets in you. There's been a divine implant of the Holy Ghost. Puts God inside you. Listen, that growth is natural. Oh, watch this right here. Amen. The growth of that child inside of her, that life inside of her, depends on what she feeds on. Huh?
Right.
Amen. Do you see the spiritual line with that? The parallel with that? The growth of God inside of us. Guess what it depends on? What we feed upon.
That's right.
Amen. A lot of people still feeding on filth and sin and ungodliness in the world. And then they wonder why in the world they're not growing and God's not getting real and big to them. And hey, man. I remember when my wife was conceived there, and I remember going to the doctor. She hadn't even started showing. There wasn't even no evidence from what you could see. But we went to the doctor and they put one of them little doohickey things on her stomach. Ultrasound, whatever. And guess what I heard in there? Sound like horses running down the road. I said, what is that? They said, that's his heartbeat. Amen. I wonder if we could take the Word of God and put a spiritual stethoscope up to your life. Could we hear God's heartbeat inside you?
Amen.
You know what the doctor could say to my wife? Or you know what the doctor could say? Hey, you got another one in you. Amen. Watch this right here. Development and the growth. It depends on what she fed on. I like that myself. Listen to this right here. Listen to this. As God developed inside of her, She would take all precautions to protect that that was in her. In other words, can I preach out here a minute? In other words, there's some things Miss Lori can't do because of the one that's in her. That she used to could have done before this life got in her. Amen. Oh, there was a lot of things that I did and could have done and could have done worse. Amen. Before God got in me. But you see, when God got in me, something happened. Amen. He began to take over. He became a priority. He became important. And so now that she's developing and she's consciously aware that there's life in me, now she protects and guards and makes sure, Brother Jeremy, that she doesn't do anything that will hurt the one that is in her.
Right.
Amen. Making sense so far, Brother James?
Amen.
I mean, there's certain things maybe she wants to eat. She won't eat now. She don't want to do nothing if it's going to be harmful. You know why? This is good. You know why she's that way? It's because she loves the one that's in her more than she loves herself. Amen. Yeah, I'm telling you, God, get in you, my friend. You're not interested in an abortion.
That's right.
Listen to me. I'm talking about spiritually. You're not interested. You're not saying, oh no, I got God in me and I don't like it. I want Him out. But by the way, it's a big subject, isn't it? Abortion is a very big subject. And if there's anybody in here that's had that, I'm telling you, God can forgive you, but I'm still going to preach it. Amen. Amen. But here's the thing. You know why? You know what would cause a girl to do that or a lady to do that? Is because she realizes that this baby inside of me is going to put claims in my life that I don't want. Going to put responsibilities in my life that I don't want. It's going to put change in my life that I don't want. So instead of me changing, I'm going to try to change the situation and I don't want to. In other words, somebody that claims to be saved, claims to have God in them, and they're all time doing things that's hurtful to Him, that's grieving to Him. My friend, guess what? That's an individual that's saying, I love myself more than the one that's in me.
Amen.
That's right. Where's the development? Amen. Amen. She watched everything she did. She guarded. She didn't want to hurt the one that was in her at all. Well, we're moving right along. Could I deal with this one? And I'll at least begin. I know I won't get done with it. Could I deal with this one? We've talked about a divine conception. We've talked about a development or developing growth. But thirdly, there's a difference. Is there a difference? Of not having life in you and having life in you, big difference, right? Could I mention about three or four? And one of these kind of get a little close to the, but she'll understand. The first one, Brother Scott, the first difference, and by the way, if you're saved, you're different. Why are you different? Why are you different? The one that's in her is making her different. It changes her. Say amen, Brother Randy. It changes her emotions. Amen. What once you could say to her and it not bother her, that probably laugh because she has another inside of her and its effect on her whole makeup. Now it said she's like, oh, starting bawling. And it might have been a compliment. Brother Brian, but what made the difference is the one that's in her has so changed her completely that it even changes the way she hears things. Changes the way she feels. But here's the first point. The first difference, we're talking about the difference. The first difference, number one, is in the walls. Amen. What you once enjoyed before the life got in you, now make you sick. What you used to do with a smile on your face, now because you've got another one on board, that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger now. You know, honey, I don't think I want to go do that no more. How it makes me sick. What do you see the spiritual parallel to that? Before you got saved, before the Holy Spirit, my friend, put God inside of you when you repented and believed the gospel. My friend, there were some things that you did and you thought there was pleasure there and enjoyment there. But as God grew inside of you and developed inside of you, guess what took place? It began to have an effect on your whole makeup and your whole life, the way you think and everything. And all of a sudden, what you once enjoyed now makes you sick. Now watch this right here. I'm talking about your wants. Amen. You being great with God, you'll crave things that other people will think. That is sick. That's strange.
That's right.
Amen. In other words, you'll desire to eat things, they tell me, amen, that you'll desire to eat things that you would have snarled your nose up at beforehand. And I mean this want, Brother Carroll, may come in the middle of the night. Honey, go get me some, and then some off the wall something. Surely you don't want to eat that. That's nasty. Oh, but I want it bad. Oh, but when you get God in you, your diet changes. You'll desire things that the world will look at. And you say, you mean you go down there at RBT? You go down there and eat that? You go down there and listen to that? Yeah, amen. And they'll frown on it. They'll snarl their nose and they'll think, boy, that's odd. But the whole thing behind it is she's craving what she's craving because of the one that's in her. And His influence in her life.
Amen.
What she wants ate beforehand. A lot of those things that she ate beforehand now make her sick. That's a good way to know when you're saved, Brother Jeremy. I don't advise nobody to do it. But you can tell you're saved when you take a bite of something that you did before you got saved and you think, oh. Before I got saved, that was enjoyable and that was pleasurable. And, you know, but now that I'm saved, ooh. Oh, I'm glad that getting saved changes spiritually your taste buds. Amen. Amen. I remember the next day, Brother Rogers, the next day after I got saved, the next day, and I'm talking about I was a heathen. The next day I got saved, after I got saved, I hadn't even been saved 24 hours yet. And I did something that I'd just kind of been a practice of doing before I got saved. And oh, the misery. Oh, the guilt. Oh, the shame. Oh, the dirtiness. And oh, the recognition that I am not the man that I was yesterday. Because yesterday, before I was converted, I would enjoy. But now it leaves a bitterness and an awful taste in my mouth. Thank God. Brother John, when you get saved, God will change you. Amen. I know people that claim to have gotten saved. And they're still eating the same old. I'm not talking about physically, but I'm talking about just things they're involved in, things they do, places they go, people they run with. They're doing the same thing that they normally used to do. And I want to say this quickly. We all can do what we've always done. Anything I've done, anything you've done, I can do. We can do anything. We're capable. We're capable of doing anything anybody's ever done.
That's right.
But the thing is, for the true believer, there's a change in the delight. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Stallard, we could sin. We could sin. It's a choice. It'll not be an accident. It's always a choice. But one thing I know and I can say that God has done. God has took the pleasure and the joy out of it. And I'm glad it's that way, Brother Mark. If I still would like it, if I still enjoyed it, and there wasn't no nasty aftertaste in my mouth, so to speak, then you know what? None of us would be here this morning. I wouldn't even be here this morning. We would already be out there in the world. But thank God for those times that when we tasted, or we tried, or we did maybe something as before, and it was awful, and it was miserable. We thank God for that, because that turned us. That turned us. Not only once, could I mention a second one? Sis, if you don't mind, would you mind walking over there and then back? All right, turn around and come back. All right, hold right there. Did you notice something? She walks different. I mean, she's still walking, but the life that was in her, Miss Paul Sue, was affecting how she walked.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
Oh, what's this, Brother Silas? You ready for this? Come on, sis. And what's this right here? Notice what's always... I turn around and go back the other way. Notice what's always out front. Amen. Oh, when God gets in you and He gets to swelling up and gets great in you and gets big in you, my friend, guess what? He's always going to be out in the forefront of your walk. Amen. Well, that's good. Amen. When you start, you know when Miss Laura get in trouble? It's when she start walking backwards. God puts that baby right there. God puts that new life inside of you right there so you can keep your eye on it.
Amen. Yeah.
So that everywhere you go, there it is. Amen. I mean, everywhere you go, there it is. Amen. Everywhere I go, God, there He is. Amen. He's in my life. Everywhere I go, I think, well, I'm going to change. You know, I'm going to go over this way. Well, I'm not going to do that. You know, and there He is. You're consciously aware that God is in you. And my friend, He's gotten great and He's gotten big and enlarged in your life. And He's always out front. I know some of y'all are thinking, preacher, you beat all I ever seen. Well, the Lord give it to me. You'll have to take it up with Him. Amen. There was a difference in her wants, her cravings and desires, and her diet, and all of that changed. There's a difference in her walk. Amen. Amen. They just got to walk about it. Amen. You can just watch one lady walk that's great with child. You don't have to. You just know. Amen. And by the way, can I just go ahead and drop a big bomb right here? Sis, can you turn off and on what you've got? You mean you're great with child on Sunday, and you're great with child on Monday too? You've got to be kidding me.
Amen.
You mean you're great with child at the house?
Come on.
That's right. Amen.
You're great with child at work? Great with child at church? Great with child at Walmart? Oh, this is really good. You're great with child when nobody's looking.
Yeah. Amen.
Privately? I mean, privately. You're great with child then too? And then great with child publicly? Well, what about that? In other words, it's a 24/7 situation.
Come on, amen.
Have you ever seen people that claim to be saved? They just seem like they can put her out there on Sunday. I've got God in me. I go down at RBT. Didn't you hear me testify the other day? Woo! I sang in the choir. But then on Monday,
yeah.
And somebody said, but I seen you down at RBT. I thought you had God in you. I thought you had God in you. Well, here he is. If I'd have thought about it, I'd have brought a big balloon with me. That's the way a lot of people act like God is. Go to church time. You go to church. That's not a balloon, is it? No. And then after church, ready to go out in the world, get around your friends. Now I look normal. I look like everybody else. But having God in you is a 24/7. No turning it on and no turning it off. Hey, I want to ask you something. If I were to go to your workplace and inquire of some of your work associates about whether they see God in you, whether there's any visibility about it, any detection about it, which is my next point, by the way, after tonight sometime. Would they say, yeah, I see God in that lady. See God in that lady. Could I say one other thing, Brother Mike, about the walk? Now, we all know Miss Lori. I mean, she comes faithful. What about that? You got God. She's saved. You got God in you, right? And she comes to church. She's got a new life in her, and she didn't let that stop her. But here's the thing about the walk. As you are out in town, this is good, Brother Rob. When you're out in town or whatever, it's not every person you see that's got God in them. It's sort of uncommon. I mean, it's a natural thing, but it's sort of uncommon. And here, guess where your eyes go? When you see a woman great with child come walking by. Now, carnal or not carnal, flesh or not flesh, here it goes. I don't look to see what color eyes they got. My eyes automatically goes to that. Now, say amen right there. Now, I'm not talking about no wicked thoughts. No, I'm talking about it's just a strange thing, you know. Mostly all that you see don't have. But then when you see one come by and they're great with child, you can't have it. You notice. And you just kindly notice. People notice. Because people noticed about you. If you're here today, you can be seated. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want to tell you, there'll be a difference in your life. God will make a difference in your life. Amen? I'm going to stop right there because there's several other things I want to deal with. We'll deal with that tonight. But I want to say, first of all, what Miss Paul says coming. If you're here tonight or this morning and you're not saved, and you're wondering, well, what's all the big deal, preacher? What's the big deal about this? What is the big deal? Listen, the big deal is getting saved allows God to come inside you, take up residence inside of you, and get big inside of you. And your life is consumed with Him, and He's a priority, and He takes precedence over everything. And that mother is filled with joy because of the one that's in her. Being saved is, listen, can I say this? And I mean it. 28 years after being saved, I can say it tonight, this morning. Being saved is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I do not regret one minute having God in me.
Amen.
I want Him to show. I want to be great with God. And we that are saved, I want to ask you this morning, are you showing? Are you developing? Are you growing? Is it evident to you and to others that God is in you? Let's all stand, would you please?
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.